Today is 2/20/19. It's Wednesday. It's looking bleak because it's hump day and it's not Friday.
The date seems indecisive. It's 2 and then 2/0 and then 19.
It's a...
Of course, the people in the EU are like, 22/19, you heathens.
Oh, yeah. So we split it up differently. It's different.
They don't like a challenge. They're simple people.
Right. What, did you get look at that cat yesterday?
I didn't go look at the cats. I was indecisive. You know what? At the last minute, I pulled out from looking at the cat.
Did you look at it online? You're like, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go and do the meet and greet. And then
the pullout is not unlike Amazon, who has pulled out of the planned New York City headquarters on Valentine's Day, no less. They broke up with New York City on Valentine's
Day.
It's cold. That's terrible.
I think a lot of people might have pulled out on Valentine's
Day. There comes the demonetization.
That's a sex joke. So, yeah. We talked about last week, they appointed this new guy to a city commission, and Crazy Eyes got elected in that district, and there was all this backlash, and people were out in the streets.
Screaming,
crying. Bezos said, yank it, I'm out. You don't want me? I'll go somewhere else. There's a million places that want my beautiful company.
Yes. That's the long and short of it. Plus, he's not really one to, like, this is... a distraction he doesn't want to fool with right now because he's got that divorce thing to worry about.
Yeah.
He's on cloud nine with that. Imagine the Valentine's Day he threw for that young new beauty.
She's not young, though.
Well, for him, she is.
She's like 2 years younger than
she's,
him.
The amount
she's
of space.
She's not even as pretty as his old wife.
The distance out of his league that she is has to be measured in light years.
Yeah.
Or billions of dollars. Could also be measured in billions of dollars.
I wonder what the conversion ratio is for light years to billions of dollars. I think Elon Musk might have an answer for us later in the program.
But speaking of Bezos,
it's later.
He brilliantly is revolutionizing the book industry. A lot of people probably don't remember Amazon.com was a bookstore.
Yeah.
It began life as a bookstore. And he has always maintained a bookstore presence with it. It even went so far as to create books that they literally print after you order them. And a robot prints it and cuts it and publishes it and ships it to you. It's incredible. But one thing that it doesn't do is pay attention to exactly what's in the books that it's printing.
Amazon has been caught selling counterfeits of publishers' computer books again. Bill Pollack says that Amazon is printing them and then even providing a faked product photo. So this is the No Starch Press. This isn't the first time No Starch Press has been caught up in this. They make a lot of good computer books. We have some. Actually, I have kind of a lot of No Starch Press books. And now I kind of want to go look and see if they were Amazon print on demand, because I've definitely ordered some from Amazon.
Well, it's easy to tell, because as you can see over here, see how the spine, like this section should be only on the spine, because here's a good version of it. It's a clean line over there,
mm-hmm.
where this one's bad. And
misprinted.
The hilarious thing is the product page has the bad spine. So he's like, how deep does this go? But yeah, it seems obvious. They found at least two instances of these books where, and this is not Amazon doing it, because as a quote unquote self-publisher, you can just upload your own book and you get a cut and Amazon gets a cut. So people are uploading scans of these other books.
Whatever, and getting money. There was a couple instances where somebody found the same book by a different author, but the contents were the same as the original author. It's just that the cover was different, and that was about it.
Well, I think they kept the cover photo even.
On some of the books, yeah.
It's just blatant.
Yeah, pretty blatant. But no one's checking, so make a couple of dollars, get away with it.
Speaking of making a couple of dollars and getting away with it.
More than a couple, I would say. So you guys... probably noticed that we had, well, I know you noticed, because sometimes, I think last week, the top voted comment were you pedantic pieces of shit complaining about Adblock Plus. Not that we're using it, but it's not uBlock Origin. We've addressed it. I'm not going to do it again. But the point is, these news companies are so desperate for money, they cannot survive in the ad economy because they don't offer a good enough service. So what are they doing? They're trying to claw money any way that they can. And Apple took one look at that and they said, here's an opportunity for us to make money.
Publishers chafe at Apple's terms for subscription news service. Apple plans to keep about 50% of subscription revenue from Netflix for News service. Likely won't share customer data with publishers.
So 50%, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but Apple's going to keep the data from who's subscribing. So you have no chance of courting your own, the people that are interested in your service. It's all got to go through Apple. Apple's setting themselves up to be gatekeepers here. But why News? And why not other subscription services with that high of a cut?
Because they can get away with it with News. Yeah. They've seen what Google News has done. People like, and I use Google News, it's great. You know, they like that aggregation. Because Wall Street Journal, I think one of the great things about news aggregators in the modern, you know, world of fake news and the polarization of the news is it like you'll get a block of the same story with four perspectives.
Yeah.
And it's very important to see all four of those headlines to try to get an idea of what's real and what isn't. And I think Apple has figured out, it's like, well, this is going to be pre-installed on Apple devices, right? So the audience is built in. We can give you viewership.
That makes us partners.
Exactly. 50% partners. And if you ever violate these terms that will change constantly, we'll boot you right out.
You're not really in a position to fight either.
They haven't altered the deal yet, but pray they don't alter it further.
Speaking of deals that businesses are pretty much, they have to deal with, and they just keep getting worse in terms of the details of the deal. How about credit card transactions?
Visa and MasterCard mull increasing fees for processing transactions, according to the Wall Street Journal. This is a Reuters article talking about this, but I'm hoping that Bitcoin rebounds dramatically on this news because they're going to raise it quite a bit. It's like 2.5%, and this is really just the transactions to banks and lending institutions, but it could be up to those institutions to pass those fees on to their customers.
I remember back when, you know, because I'll date us a little bit here, at least Wendell and I. I think this might be true of you too, Krista. Food stamps used to actually be paper stamps.
No, it was always a card.
Yeah, well, okay. But we were alive during a time when
stamps,
actual vouchers were used. And the banks actually lobbied to go to the card system. And they said, you know what? It's going to take away the stigma. People are going to be less ashamed. It's going to be faster. It's going to be more efficient.
It is faster.
What they didn't talk about is these same fees apply to those cards. So you, the taxpayer, pay the government. The government pays the people who get the subsidies. And then the people go to the stores who then pay the credit card companies. So the credit card companies don't have to pay anything to get whatever, 0.5% or whatever it is.
2.5.
They recently moved to WIC, which is like a women and children, like healthy food program. They recently moved that to card as well.
I was talking to Krista earlier in the week, and I said, how does it feel, old lady? How does it feel that the thing you loved is dying in front of you, and you'll be forced to adapt to this crazy new world of children that you don't know or understand?
For Activision?
Well, Blizzard.
Activision Blizzard lays off hundreds of employees. What does that have to do with me adapting?
Overwatch is going to die.
Well, Overwatch is going to die inevitably. They've already reduced the price to $20. it's full of Smurfs and boosters.
So
it's fine, though.
But it's worth pointing out that Activision Blizzard, they had a record, they had a banner year.
They did have a really good year, but there's losses projected for the following year.
Yeah, they didn't hit their expectations, but they still had a massive profit. So, I mean, how crappy is that? It's like, oh, we're doing really well. Mm. You got to go.
Yeah. Well, they're laying off people who are, like, administrative staff.
And marketing.
Yeah.
And esports, which is...
Listen, Overwatch markets itself. Overwatch, why do we need you?
I wish they didn't put as much money into esports. I'm fine with that, so...
Well, it's going to die, though, without that. That seems to be a trend, though, in the gaming world. Because I remember reading about... what was that last World War II game that came out?
Battlefield?
I don't remember, but... Was that the one that had girls in it that people were freaked out about? Mm. Whatever that one was, it made really good profits. Like, it made a lot of money. But it didn't make the amount of money that they, quote-unquote, projected to the shareholders.
Aww.
So they ruled it a failure. So... They made a piece of software that was wildly profitable, but they still consider that a failure financially because they created these expectations that they weren't ever able to meet.
Like what happened with Kmart and Sears.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's like, these businesses are profitable and they're going out of business? What?
I hearken back with us, viewers, to a time when cryptocurrency mania was just beginning. It was in that early, it was like the fever was just catching on. And
fever.
The banks were lining up on CNBC and in the Wall Street Journal to just to try and bash it down, bludgeon it back and maintain control. And one of the big talking heads here was Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan. And he said it was a fraud, I believe was his word, which makes this headline kind of delicious.
JP Morgan becomes the first U.S. bank with a cryptocurrency. And he literally is on record as having said, who can create a currency out of thin air? That just seems impossible.
Like, well, apparently now he can.
Yeah.
Easy. GG, very easy.
Of course, if you know anything about the monetary system, the central banks do that.
JPM
every
coin.
Every single day.
Now, the reason they're creating JPM coin is to facilitate international wire transfers because those take too long, probably because of controls.
Yeah, right.
Remember that whole HSBC thing with like the money laundering thing? It's like, there's a lot of banking scrutiny with those international wire transfers now. We're going to need that scrutiny to go away.
But it seems like this is a great system for getting it out there, testing it, figuring out the loopholes of it, and being ready if the paradigm were to shift all of a sudden. Like, let's say they raise the transaction fees on credit cards 2%. And something goes crazy and people switch to crypto. Hey, we've already got one. Don't worry. It's tested.
Nice.
It's proven. You may have recently purchased an RTX card. And you might have thought to yourself, wow, I paid a lot of money for that. And the performance increase is somewhat marginal. That's weird. I wonder why that was. And the NVIDIA conference call might cover that.
The NVIDIA CEO foresees a great year for PC gaming laptops. That was really the only good news to come out of the shareholder like analyst call. And some of these laptops have already started to come out, and their performance is all over the place. It depends entirely on the laptop manufacturer's implementation of the new cards as to what kind of performance you can expect. So a 2070 in one laptop versus a 2070 in another laptop, it remains to be seen. We don't know yet.
They did admit it was the glut of old cards, and they feel like that they've flushed out the system. It's time for mid-tier RTX cards to go into laptops, and that's why he thinks it's going to be great. He also did address the critique that modern games don't use RTX, and he said, no. There's that Battlefield game and the new Metro game.
So... Two
games use it.
He left out Quake 2,
so,
the Savage.
Get it right, people. Don't say that no games use RTX.
There
are two.
And Quake 2 makes three.
I was going to say literally dozens. There's not even literally dozens.
Quake 2 is not a game that is for sale.
You can buy it for $5 on Steam.
You could probably buy it for 75 cents on the key sites.
Not that we condone that.
Here's a weird headline. If I were to say to you, okay, here's a piece of paper, write down the first 100 names you'd like to associate with Right to Repair, would you put this name on it?
No.
No.
I don't think anybody would.
Insurance giant Allstate buys independent phone repair company and joins the Right to Repair movement. With Allstate's purchase of iCracked, you could say the Right to Repair movement is in good hands.
See, someone enjoyed writing that subheadline.
They really did. It's because Allstate, you know.
what a great joke.
I think it's really interesting that insurance companies are doing this because I wonder if Allstate has looked at like claims on corporate policies. Because like if you're a corporation and your laptops or your employees are toting around Apple laptops, generally that's insured. And if they drop them or do something weird, you will cover that as an insurance claim.
But also... competition in the repair segment has to help their bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Because they, as we've seen from health insurance, they'll find the lowest bidder.
Yeah.
And they'll insist that you use them. You'll have in-network refrigerator repairmen soon. Plus, if you're crazy enough to get in there and start doing it yourself and you destroy it, I'm sure there's going to be some fine
penalty
print.
For that.
Yeah. So, makes sense. It's a kind of a long con and an evil one, but... to get a big name putting money behind Right to Repair might be a lesser evil overall?
I don't understand why history is repeating itself here, because we went through all of this with automobiles. Auto companies, you know, Detroit tried to do this with cars. Ford tried to do this with the Model T. Not really, but I mean, you know, almost that far back. I don't understand why we're repeating history here, because a computer is not unlike a car in terms of, like, right to repair.
You may, as someone who watches this program, maybe it's your first time.
Welcome.
If so, welcome. Maybe you're just a normie who stumbled into this and...
Oh, the rabbit hole goes deep, my friend.
Congrats on making it this far into the program.
The question is, the question I'm leading to here is, how aware is the average normie about how personalized ads are collecting all of their data in order to be personalized? Do they know? And it seems like when this is explicitly explained to them, they're terrified of it. And yet they keep using the products that do it.
Forbes says only 17% of consumers believe personalized ads are ethical, according to this survey. So, yeah.
A lot of my family members, they're like, they understand, like, man, I just said something about this the other day, and now I'm seeing ads for it. Like, they see the connection, but, like, it doesn't seem to concern them that much. Like,
I'm just crazy. It's a coincidence.
Yeah.
That seems to be. Or they're just simply so addicted to whatever it is.
Facebook.
That's, you know, that's doing that to them. That they're like, okay, I get it. But well, it's kind of like, you know, processed sugar. Yeah, sure. Oh, I know it's killing me.
It's delicious.
But I get those endorphins.
Yeah, endorphins.
I need those endorphins.
Speaking of processed sugar.
IHOP coffee.
Well.
It's mostly not coffee.
There's a little bit of coffee in there.
It's mostly a sweetener.
We talked last week. Was it Pennsylvania that they did?
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And one of those lunatic lawmakers said she wanted 10% of every sale of mature or worse rated video games to go toward, like, anti-school shooting or something like that.
School security.
Because video games make you violent, right? It seems obvious. If you simulate shooting a gun, it's going to make you immediately run out and shoot a gun. But wait.
No link between violent video games and increased aggression in teens, study finds. No, not that study. Oh, no, not that other study. No, not that study from the 80s. This one is a new one that, again, says the same thing as all of those old studies. This is a Royal Society of Open Science from Oxford.
Now, the difference, the reason this study is maybe better than all the other ones is those other studies took a set of data that was collected unrelated to this and said, we're going to find a correlation between violence and video games. And it's kind of easy to do that with a data set. If you're goal seeking, it's kind of easy to do. What these guys did is they actually published in a journal or something. They're like, we are going to do this study specifically for violence and video games. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to collect the data. We are controlling it with this. We are only looking for this correlation. And it wasn't there.
Womp, womp.
Now, they did say that short-term anger was definitely caused by video games.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which, if you played an online game, yeah, pretty obvious.
You know, you play GTA Online for like an hour, and then you go get in your car to go somewhere, and it's like, man, I should just run someone over.
Well, they were talking more about, you know, like racism and calling your mother a whore and, you know, that kind of
baby rage.
Blood pressure of playing online games. But that did not go into like long-term violence.
They've never played the original Super Mario Brothers with like that boxy square controller. How many times are you going to die? Especially toward the end.
That was infuriating, but it made us better people because you had to persevere through it.
Because there was nothing else to do.
That's debatable.
Terms of service. No one reads them.
Nope.
Literally no one. And then remember there was that famous case where a woman like actually read it and then asked Microsoft for the money back.
And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one does it, but they just get bigger and bigger. And they've looked into how smart do you have to be to read terms of service.
It turns out 14 years, and most online terms of service are incomprehensible to adults, a study finds. So, yeah. So even if you did read the terms of service, you're not going to understand what it says.
I resent that.
By design. absolutely by design. There's this, you know, the like sovereign citizen movement, that whole thing. Am I being detained? There's like this ancient, I don't think it was the Magna Carta, but it was like one of those type of laws that said that laws must be understandable by the common man.
Yeah.
And those people believe that because that is not the case in modern society, that we should be free from all of those laws. But those people don't understand that police and government are a criminal gang. They don't care about those rules. They just will enforce them. So you don't try to use that defense, please.
I think that this plus the 17% story go together really well. It's like 17%. Well, it was in the terms of service. Didn't you read the terms of service? And it's like, no, I literally can't understand the terms of service.
That and one of the big things they point out here, one of them is the arbitration clause.
Yeah.
Because everybody's using the arbitration
What's
clause.
What's arbitration? Yeah. Oh, that sounds terrible. Exactly. That should be illegal.
It is terrible. And it probably should be illegal, but it's in there and they can easily enforce it because it is a contract that you're signing. It's not criminal law. It's contract law. And you're agreeing to it. So I can't give you an alternative. You know, no. Just don't use it. But as we've seen, a lot of people struggle to not use a lot of these modern services.
Ugh.
One business that you're not going to have to worry about the terms of service is Mars One.
Mars One is dead. The Mars colony startup was declared bankrupt by a Swiss court. Now, we reported on this. They were going to get a bunch of people together in the desert and see how they worked as a team to become colonists for Mars. It seemed kind of scammy. Turns out...
It was kind of a scam.
Well, that wasn't the whole plan. You forgot to mention the part where that, all of that was going to be a reality TV show, which funded the Mars mission.
No.
Didn't work out. Like the plot of RimWorld.
They raised like $12 or $13 million, and it's like, where did that go? How did you manage to spend $13 million on nothing?
Was there a colonist there named Ralph?
They might have had a little bit of Mars dust. The white kind.
Can't grow potatoes in that.
Well, you don't know.
You'd work hard at it, though. You'd till the soil like a motherfucker. Pokemon Go. Who still plays Pokemon Go?
That was the first thing I asked myself when I read this.
I remember, though, in the that was that summer, and there were just...
Like zombies. Just
gangs of Aspies running the city. And you're staring at their phones. It was amazing. It was an amazing time to be alive.
There was a gym across the street from our office. That's why there were so many people.
And that is the point of this story. It turns out the locations of things angered some people.
Niantic is tweaking Pokemon Go to settle a lawsuit with angry homeowners. So they're setting up a geofencing stuff so that if you've got a thing that will attract Pokemon Go players to your house or your yard or even just near your house, you can basically opt out, and it'll never randomly generate something that will draw people to your backyard or the empty lot across from your house or where you've buried the bodies or, you know, whatever.
Well, if that's where you buried, if you're a serial killer, this seems like a big bonus, actually.
Yeah. You're just getting more victims, free victims.
Yeah, right. Come and get the...
Why were you out here in the middle of the field?
Like, what's the most popular Pokemon?
Probably Pikachu.
No, I mean, that's the...
Or even maybe Charizard.
One, right? Like, what's the least common one?
Mewtwo or Mew, probably.
Oh, there's
from the original 150.
There's going to be so many comments.
Engagement challenge.
There's only one Mewtwo.
Chris is going to ride the algorithm to the top this week.
Chris is stupid.
Listen.
It's obviously this one.
I didn't keep up with the new gens, but first gen, I'm pretty sure it's Mew or Mewtwo. Quote me. Fight me IRL.
Oh, they'll do it.
They probably will.
Don't ask them to do that, because they'll track you using their Pokemon Go tracking abilities.
And or the illegal location data.
Yeah, one or the other.
Well, we talked about the illegal location data that was used by bounty hunters. And I don't remember this from the original story. The reason that thing existed was 911.
Yeah.
Did they cover that?
No, they didn't mention that. I said that they said they ruled that this was illegal years ago and it didn't matter.
Well, it should be illegal when you just think they're selling data. But if they're using the system that they had in place to do that was the 911 system, Jesus.
Yeah, Ars Technica says, selling the 911 location data is illegal. U.S. characters reportedly did it anyway. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint sale of the GPS data is called unquestionably illegal. Now, who is saying unquestionably illegal is somebody that's not really super fully informed in the situation. Probably going to be a loophole here, but I hope not.
I don't know. Because they
a GPI okayed this.
But
don't forget.
Oh, well, so here's the crazy thing about this.
That doesn't affect him, so of course he okayed it.
Tom Wheeler, his administration were the ones that ruled on this. Guess who was in the FCC at the time and dissented?
Ajit Pai.
Mr. Ajit Pai.
One of the people from Wheeler's administration said, and I quote, "We fined the crap out of them when we found violations."
Yeah. But so the reason they track your data is for 911, which kind of makes sense. Although, I don't know, I still think we're better off without it. You know?
I think if you dial 911, your phone could report it then. It doesn't need to be reporting it all the time in case you dial 911.
But you know that Google and the phone companies are going to collude to use that anyway.
Yeah.
It needs to not exist and not be abused. SpaceX has reached a new milestone. Now, Krista, you are afraid of raptors.
I am.
What if there were raptors?
Dramatically afraid.
What if they could generate, like, a new breed of raptors that could generate hundreds of thousands of horsepower?
See, I think, you know, if they can just run after me, that's what I'm scared of.
Well,
they're smart. They can open doors.
The future is now, where they can use liquid oxygen fuel.
SpaceX's Raptor engine hits power level for Starship launches, Elon Musk says. So they broke a record. They broke a world record. The Russians used to hold the record. Now the Raptor engine
USA.
Does.
USA.
That's a cool graphic, thrust there. Looks good. And so they got this new Starship. It's not a Starship class. They call it Starship.
Yeah, it can just barely get to Mars.
That's a proper noun. But yeah, there it is. And it's also going to be running the super heavy, larger payload rockets that they've got.
Oh, I can't see the video. So, you don't have to go on there.
There we go. There it is.
Woo!
It's a lot of thrust. That's almost as much thrust as was aggregated across the Earth on Valentine's night. How do you quantify satisfaction? Who determines?
Stars.
You just imagine stars.
No, I was thinking, stars.
As you're going through life.
0 out of 10 stars.
But I'm saying, like, as you go through the day, there's just a star meter that you imagine above your head.
Yeah.
And it,
this day is only, 3 stars.
So it looks like driving the Model 3 would give you a lot of stars.
Yeah.
Tesla's Model 3 has been ranked most satisfying car, more than Porsche or Corvette. So at least owners are super satisfied with their Model 3s.
Is it a smug sort of satisfaction, though?
Yeah, it's like smell your own farts kind of satisfaction.
That's funny, because I'm 12.
So, yeah, this thing, it was Porsche 911 and Corvette, and there was one other car. I can't remember. Anyway, here it is. It's
Audi A4?
No, that was the Honda Genesis G90.
Hyundai, wow.
I don't even know what that thing looks like. But yeah, and why is it satisfying? Probably because it's super responsive and fast, because that's what those other cars in that category are like. You push the gas pedal,
it goes.
Endorphins immediately.
I asked him why he needed another car if he was getting a truck. He's like, "I got to go fast." That was all he told me. He's like, "Sonic."
Can confirm. High set. Many stars. Many stars when pushing that pedal down.
You've not even been able to drive it lately because it's been so cold and nasty.
I drove it yesterday.
Oh, it was sunny yesterday.
A little salty, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't happy about that.
Did that take a star off?
Yeah, I was a little concerned. But yeah, it's
speaking of people that are a little concerned.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a level one
engagement
quiz. Who knew before they read this article what the Granite State was?
I had no idea.
Nope, no clue.
No.
Wonder how many people out there in the normie world know that we're the Bluegrass State, because that's a weird one.
That is kind of a weird one.
Because who even knows what bluegrass is outside of Kentucky?
It's not even blue.
It's a variety of grass. Yeah.
Anyway, it's New Hampshire.
It's shiny. That's the sky.
It's New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is sort of a hotbed for, as we talked about earlier, right to repair. And that means that they are being attacked on all sides.
In the Granite State, industry groups paint a dark picture of the right to repair. So New Hampshire wants the right to repair. The industry is saying all sorts of terrible things will happen. Like, look, Joe at Joe's Appliance Repair is going to repair your washing machine. And then pretty soon, the washing machine is going to eat your infant child. That will literally happen if you allow just anybody to repair a washing machine.
But how does that happen? Don't worry about it. It just will.
That seems like a net positive.
They talk about you know, it's like we've got all these EPA regulations, like the whole, you know, if you start doing self-repairs in your car, it's going to belch emissions. That's something, that's another thing that you've experienced, where your cars, we have modified, you have modified the fuel performance curve.
Oh, yeah, to turn off the fuel management.
So, which you know, the right to repair people are like, no, no, you must not be allowed to do that.
Yeah, General Motors does not recommend that. It's actually pretty hilarious because they send you the little OnStar report every month. Even though I was like, I don't want to be OnStar. They're like, we're just going to send you the report.
Don't worry about
and, it. And now there's just like a like four pages of errors where it's like, we can't communicate with your car. Something's wrong. Something's plugged in that shouldn't be. But these guys, they also talk
it's
about...
It's going to start eating infant children if you don't.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I'm destroying
that's
the environment.
Feature. Yeah.
But yeah, if you read through these things, it's one is more ridiculous than the next. And you can sort of see a desperation coming out of the industry here. And they do point out that, like, one of the guys was like, yeah, this is stupid. And I realize that when you read this article, you're going to think these reasons are stupid. But what isn't stupid is the millions they're pouring into this behind the scenes to undermine it. That's real, and we need to stop it. And he's right.
Good job, person writing this article.
Well, Wendell, you, as we have doggedly followed on the news, are a prolific tweeter.
I am.
The best tweeter in the Level 1 crew.
Some would say obsessive to the point of danger.
Do you tweet? How many times a week do you tweet?
That's probably 2 or 3 times a day.
Well, here's... I think that's low.
You think?
Here's the question. Have you ever really, really regretted a tweet?
I don't think so.
A better answer would be yes, because then we could lead in and say, now you get this feature.
Oh, Twitter is considering a clarification feature. Oh, I didn't read it as that way. I read this as kind of like the... like the YouTube thing where it's like, this might not be.
No. This is like something
you do this
that
yourself.
User can do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this is
user feature.
People have begged for an edit feature.
Oh.
So,
and they won't do that.
Because, you know, a lot of, especially political stuff.
Yeah.
What was that last thing where remember the kid with the MAGA hat and the Indian guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then they posted the longer video and it wasn't what it seemed to be at all. But all these people had, like, called for his death. So a lot of people were like, I would like to be able to go back and edit and, like, explain myself. And he says, no, we're not going to do that, but we might do a clarification button.
Or you basically just add on a comment that's like, actually. Yeah,
that sounds to me like a half measure. And, like, how hard is it to just let people edit their tweet and then maybe provide a history to be like, this is what it said originally.
Actually, the button for this should be labeled actually.
The actually feature for Twitter.
Although you'd have to do it to yourself, which those people aren't often willing to do. Wendell, you also send some direct messages on Twitter, right?
I do.
Have you ever sent any of those that you're a little bit ashamed of?
Let's say yes for the purpose of this message.
Well, bad news then.
Even years later, Twitter does not delete your direct messages. How do we know this? Well, this guy requested his data from Twitter. And Twitter obliged because of GDPR and sent him all of his data. And in the data was stuff that he deleted.
And other people's direct messages to him.
That were also deleted.
So you could delete, but then it could still be on the other person's end.
Let's just say that if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, you need to be committed to slide into them DMs because you're going to be in there forever.
And sliding into DMs often is not something that is meant to lead to commitment.
I bet Twitter's infrastructure, a long time ago, I was looking into Twitter's infrastructure, and I don't think it was technically possible to delete things because of the way that they synchronize records across their server farm. Like, it was just inserts only. Like, somebody says something, and then it's immediately replicated everywhere. And deletes would have just been chaos. Like, they literally just didn't plan for it.
Seems to be true. Now, I would be honored, let's say. I would consider it a position of distinction and privilege to be on the Facebook watch list.
CNBC says Facebook uses its apps to track users it thinks could threaten employees and offices. So I wonder if Zuck has ever he's like paranoid about all these investigations and stuff. I wonder if he's used this feature personally to be like, oh, I wonder if my number 2 is trustworthy.
Which absolutely he has. He's a robot. He doesn't understand how people think. He has to have another robot tell him what to do.
Now, they talked about a specific example where one guy worked for Facebook and then left for whatever reason, but he was still friends with somebody at Facebook. And the friend said, hey, come back and have lunch with me at Facebook and let's catch up. And this guy came to have lunch. His name was in that system as an ex-employee. And as soon as he got to the lobby, he was surrounded by security.
Wow.
Because you go into the list as a suspicious name.
If you're an ex-employee? Or maybe that guy in particular?
I don't know if he did something. Oh, no, no. They said he had messaged Zuckerberg directly. And that triggered it.
Is that like a...
How dare you speak to me?
Yeah. Do not look me in the eye.
I would just like to take this time to just go ahead and publicly announce, Facebook, I will find you. And I will kill you.
See, under Vox, that's going to get considered a death threat.
No.
But you can't be an ex-employee or you will be blacklisted. And if you say bad things to them, you will be blacklisted. And perhaps if you try to search for men's pictures.
As one does.
Facebook lets you search for pictures of your female friends, but not your male ones. So this seems to be like... The details around this are when you go to look for pictures that are categorized a certain way, it will help you. And there's different features other than just like the male-female thing.
You can also do family, I think, is one.
But if you search for like male pictures, it's just like, did you mean female friends?
You want to look at your friend's bikini pics, right? Like that's what you're looking for.
You got to think that the female pictures get a lot more traffic. But
was that a feature written from AI?
Or why discriminate?
From the very dark early history of Facebook.
I think that it might be from the dark early history and they just never took it out.
That's neat. It'd be neat to have code that's that old living in Facebook.
I'm sure that's probably happened.
It's like there's somebody at Facebook that's like, I wrote that code. That code was when I was in college and kind of skeezy. I can't believe it's still in there.
Better quit while I'm ahead before anyone realizes it was me who wrote it.
Better get a few searches in before they get rid of it.
Yeah.
This has been, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but there's been a big story in the news about measles. There were some measles outbreaks.
It's officially like a bad outbreak.
It's back.
Like Oregon. Yeah.
It's better than ever. And of course, that brings up the anti-vaccination movement and whether or not those people should be allowed to do such a thing. Facebook is being pressured. Now, this is a weird situation because on one hand, Facebook should not be able to determine what is real and what isn't and what we see and what we don't. On the other hand, these people could kill us.
On the other hand, measles in 2019.
Yeah.
Pressure mounts on Facebook and Google to stop anti-vax conspiracy theories. So, yeah, people who are against vaccinations, making all kinds of content and doing stuff, people find it credible when they see lots and lots of individuals making videos and blog posts and stuff like that talking about anti-vaccination stuff. People start to think that there's something to that if they're not literate.
There was a great screenshot, and it might have been fake, but it was so good. And it was like, hey, guys. Oh, Boiler Snake.
There he goes.
He does not believe in vaccines at all.
Oh, really? I thought he was going
to
be upset.
No, no matter what we do to explain to him that vaccines are good, he's like, no, causes autism, and my brother's autistic, and we can't have it.
Well, he's never been vaccinated, you know? He's a Boiler
Snake.
No. He doesn't need
to be. He won't be vaccinated.
It's really funny, too, because he's had rickets.
Yeah. Well, he's got that horrible, you know, water hammer.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, dude, that's part of me. That's who I am. And it's not contagious, so just, you know, get off my cloud. But the screenshot was a woman, and she was like, hey guys, this is super serious. Me and my 9-month-old daughter have both contracted measles. And what can I do? I'm an anti-vaxxer. It's like, what can I do? Well, there's one thing you could have done.
I thought that screenshot was for whooping cough. She's like, I feel terrible.
I thought I saw one for measles. You might be right, though.
Yeah, I think it was whooping cough.
What are the odds that there's more than one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So... Maybe get vaccinated.
No, just use some tea tree oil. It's fine.
Just do both. Why not just throw the whole, you know, gamut of treatments at it?
Yeah.
You need some nice chamomile tea and
I'm going to say get the whole spectrum of vaccinations, but then go ahead and do the tiger penis powder. You know?
Well,
what could it hurt?
Listen, I think that's totally fine. Like, why not depend on science? But then for like minor ailments, like a headache, then yeah, sure, do some willow bark tea. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah,
but don't treat your cancer with it.
Rhino horns? I mean, that doesn't affect the environment at all.
I'm pretty sure as a kid, the sleepless nights, the Jack Daniels and honey took care of that.
Oh, you put a little whiskey when the kid's teething.
Add grain whiskey to your child's regimen. You heard it here first. You know what? A little bit of nose candy, a little cocaine. Snap them right out of bronchitis every time.
It's really hard to get the antique, like the safe cocaine. You got to go for the street cocaine. Because the antique cocaine is much cleaner.
We got to rub a little on your gums first to make sure it's pure.
We actually found, like when we were doing some renovation, we actually found like a little some medicine cocaine. Thing.
Diaper rash, PCP every time. We'll take, it's like 2 days, it's gone.
It's like Dr. Schlepp's cure-all, whatever, and it's like, active ingredient, cocaine.
Doctor, what was the name of the,
oh,
the
so Mac malware? Slayer.
Slayer. Slayer, yeah, Dr. Slayer. Dr. Slayer's pure cocaine.
Not a great name for medicine, but...
So, Wendell, you're a Twitter addict. We know that Krista uses Facebook mostly as a stalking tool.
Well, mostly to keep up with my family.
I don't really use social... I mean, I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use that much, so I don't know, but... If we had to have a competition, now before you read this article, who would you say had the most valuable and least valuable social media users?
I would
users?
Say Facebook, because people put everything on there.
Yeah.
Seems like a good bet.
For normies, probably Facebook is the most valuable.
But they're least. More willing to put their...
Well, I'm not even going to ask you the least, because you already know that. But, yeah, well, let's look at the headline first.
The Reddit users are the least valuable of any social network. Reddit announced a $300 million funding round and giving it a $3 billion valuation with 330 million active monthly users and a revenue of about $100 million. According to sources, the company is generating an estimated 30 cents per user. Reddit's value per user is much lower than other social networks, including Facebook, Snap, Twitter, and Pinterest.
Yeah, but how many of those users are just alt accounts so they can post embarrassing stuff?
I'm kind of okay with that.
Facebook, I think, is generally less valuable. Reddit, like, some of the communities are actually very valuable for information dissemination and being on top of news for certain niche topics, but it seems
but
like
But you can't monetize that,
yes,
really,
exactly.
Which is why it's not worth much to, like, a business.
Also, eventually, all of those devolve into, like, moderation dictatorship, and they become unusable.
Now... The thing that was most surprising to me, that I literally do not believe, is that Twitter is as valuable as it is. So
how about that? You're worth at least 948 as a Twitter user.
I think it's negative 948.
No, that's a tilde.
Is it?
Around.
About 948.
Oh, look who's blind now.
Okay. Well, I mean, how would they be in negative?
Yeah.
Because it costs money to run it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I was thinking. It's like, is that... Like, with Twitter, how is Twitter actually making money?
But if that were a negative, then the article would be incorrect.
Yeah.
Because then Facebook or Twitter would be the least valuable. Yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting. And but I agree that Reddit users are useless.
But you've got Reddit Gold and...
Which is the stupidest thing in the universe.
Well, people love that.
Turn ads off. I mean...
You know what? I can already do that.
Yeah.
But I think Reddit Gold is more the brilliance of that is people use it like they do the Twitch bits.
Yeah.
Where they assign it to comments that they like.
Yeah.
Almost every time I post in like some public comment, I get gold or silver. And it's like, I don't really want that. But
look
like,
at me.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, why are people spending money on this? It doesn't make sense. I'm just like, no, you don't need to do that.
I kind of like to look at, this is not really related that much, but like, I like to look at Reddit because so many places have gotten rid of their comment sections.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to find out like if it's not actually marketing hype. Though I guess people could use Reddit to market things, but I don't know how often that is for certain
items. See, Reddit could be in on that revenue.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely being exploited.
Here's the thing. You read those comments, and then you're like, oh, I understand why everybody turns off their comments.
Yeah.
Because these people are worth 30 cents.
But I like... But I like having the comments. I like to know. Like Tanya the bird chick at the local news station. She comments on every article.
What do we got lined up for Friday?
So Friday we've got one design story.
The
robot section, and of course nonsense.
Robots. I like the robots this week. There's a lot of robot and AI news. A lot of robot and AI.
How could you not like the robots?
It's a really cool story.
I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, but this week was really like, wow, we're getting really close to some kind of like scary stuff with AI.
The singularity.
Yeah.
Kurzweil's going to live to see it.
See you Friday.